Well, amen. I think that was worth the cost of admission this morning. And so what a blessing that song was. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 8. The Gospels, the book of Luke in chapter 8. If you're able to, if you'd stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Luke 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing, Lord, just to sense your presence in this place, to be ministered to through congregational and special music. But now, God, as we have opened up the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, we've read this passage of scripture. Lord, I believe this is exactly the scripture that you would have us to learn from today. I pray that you would just empower the preaching of thy word. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you this morning, do you see your life as being meaningless, possibly unproductive, even perhaps, hopefully not, but worthless? There's a lot of people that are living their lives just barely getting by, and they see themselves this way. I believe there's more and more people that are seeing themselves and their lives as being somewhat meaningless, unproductive, maybe even not even worth living. Well, that's a sad place to be. Jesus taught this parable so that his true disciples would not ever have to feel this way. Now, you probably didn't get that when we read that passage of scripture. And you know the parable of the sower of the seeds. If you've been in church, no doubt you've heard it preached on many a time. But did you realize that in what we're looking at today, that Jesus taught it so that his true disciples, those that truly had an ear to hear, would not ever have to feel like their lives were meaningless, their lives were unproductive, not worth living? If you would look back to our text, and Jesus, he spoke the parable in verses 5 through 8, but then in verse 9, his disciples. Now, the Bible tells us that all the 12 disciples, apostles, were with him at this point. And the Bible says in verse 9, and his disciples, he's talking about his apostles, asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" They didn't understand it. They didn't really understand the full meaning of it. And if the disciples didn't, I'm sure that very few, if anybody, had really understood what Jesus had just taught them. But it's a powerful message. In verse 10, he said, "Unto you." Now, there was a lot of people gathered around, but he is speaking to his true disciples, at least 11 of them. Judas was still in the midst here. But he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That in itself ought to cause you to say hallelujah. Something that a believer can understand that a lost person can never understand is the kingdom of God. The eternal kingdom of God, past, present, and future. But he says to them, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So certain ones he knew would not understand. He knew that would not fully hear the truths that he had for them, although he also knew that they would be preserved and recorded for every individual to have an opportunity to read and to know truth. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay, now he has focused his apostles in on, he's going to help them to know, because he'd spoken parables for the others that they would not be able to understand, but it was for them to understand. And so now he tells them, he starts revealing what it was, that the message behind the parable that he wanted them to grasp. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. When you understand that, it puts a whole new light and a whole new meaning on what he had just presented to them. And then verse 12 through 15, he gives them the meaning, the understanding. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Humanity. Individuals. Then cometh the devil. As we understand the kingdom of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, we understand that there is an evil spirit, there's an evil kingdom out there that is looking to hinder and to destroy. So he says, and the devil cometh and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Well, we see a lot of that taking place today. Lest they should believe and be saved. They've heard it. The devil steals the seed, the word, and they don't get saved. They just flip it off and go on with the way they want to live and whatever they want to believe and whatever religion they want to claim. But the word was presented. The word was there for them. The Bible has been with us. The completion of the full word of God has been with us for some 2,000 years now. And there's always been those out there presenting the seed, sowing the seed. One of the most important jobs the church has is to sow the seed, preach the word. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, this is questionable, whether he is referring to somebody that truly got saved or somebody that did get or didn't get saved. It just was just playing the church game. And then finally got tired of that and went on to another game in their own minds. That person never got saved. But it could possibly be that somebody got saved and just stayed in that infancy stage with just babes in Christ, and they never grew, and they were able, the devil was able to tempt them and they fell away. and they are living in a backslidden life, which there will not be any spiritual fruit being produced from a backslidden spiritual life. So possibly saved or not, some believe that they are, some believe they're not. That's really not the main message here. And then verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they. Now it's again identifying certain people. And in every generation there's been certain people that have done this. Which they, when they have heard, go forth. They've accepted it and they go forth with it, but then are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now that's the verse we're going to come back to in just a few minutes here. But then in verse 15, but that on the good ground, talk about the heart, are they which in an honest and good heart, I mean, they were opened for the truth. They didn't want to live their lives without knowing the truth. And when they received, when they heard the truth, they knew it to be truth. They, having heard the word, keep it. That's something you need to underline right now. Keep it. And because they keep it, it's in them, bring forth fruit with patience. Wow. Producing fruit for God is the best place to be in the life that we live. Understanding the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of man. The human kingdom. We have all three of those. And they're all three battling right now. But producing fruit for a creator God will bring more joy, make a life more meaningful than anything else. Producing fruit for God is accomplishing God's will for our lives. It's fruit for God. It's what God wants from us. It's what God wants from our lives that He gives us. He gives us life, physical life, and then He gives us eternal life when we come to that place in our lives when we know that there's more than just a physical life to live, and we come to to the truth and knowing that if I die without Jesus Christ because of my sin, I'm going to die and go to a devil's hell. And so because of the what I understand, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And at that point, I trust in Jesus Christ. Now I have the opportunity to live a spiritual life. I have opportunity to produce fruit for God. Whether we do or not, we find in this parable, some did and some didn't. But it's the best place to be as we go through this life, producing fruit in the home. Can I tell you that God has a plan for the homes? God has a plan for a marriage. And if you are married, then you can produce fruit through that marriage. And you can establish an example of a Christian marriage. That's fruit. Because God wants you to be an example to the world. He wants you to be the light of the world. He wants you to be the salt and the light. So if you're married, then actually producing fruit is making sure that you have a good marriage. Which when you have a good marriage, if wife is happy, everything's good. Everything's good. In the home, if mama's happy, praise the Lord for it. It's good. Compared to if mama's not happy. producing fruit for God in the home is raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And once you've raised them to completion, perfection, the Bible says, that means that the fruit has been developed. The fruit is where it needs to be. Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth the fruit. So in the home, bringing forth fruit is raising children that turn out right, giving them the best opportunity to turn out right. And if they turn out right, then they are serving God and they're going to reproduce a Christian home. They're going to find a right mate. And they're going to raise their children the way they were raised. And they're going to be a testimony in society, which is fruit. Which when you're raising godly children, can I tell you, there's a peace in the home versus raising rebellious children and there's no peace at home. Raising godly children that love the Lord and want to do right makes you want to keep having them. Amen. I want to fill my quiver. I want to continue to produce fruit for God because that is part of God's plan for the home. And then we have the church. God has a purpose for the church, and the church is to produce fruit. Producing fruit is, for God, is getting people saved, baptized. And the only place they can have biblical baptism is in a biblical church. And then discipling them. From the nursery to the kindergarten class, to the first grade, to the second grade, to the junior high, to high school, to college, and then helping young marriage come together. It's the fruit. God designed the church to produce fruit for Him. Producing fruit for Him is making a difference in people's lives, getting people saved, baptized, discipled. That's a hallelujah when that's taking place. We're seeing people getting saved and the altar is being used and people making spiritual decisions and seeing lives being changed. Can I tell you, I've missed a lot of that with the COVID. Not being able to experience that, not being able to be a part of that. And yet that is part of producing fruit. And when that is taking place, can I tell you, there's a spirit in the church like none other. It's a spirit that you don't want to miss out on. It is something that you're looking forward to every time we have an opportunity to assemble ourselves together, because as you assemble yourselves together, it's worth living. There's a meaning for my life and my home and my church and my occupation. Everyone has to learn their occupation. And yet, when God allows you to use the talents and the gifts that He gave you primarily for to be used in the church, but you also find that you can use those very same talents and be productive in society. And you have an occupation. And there's fruit in you being a part of that workforce, because now you have a Christian doctor. You have a Christian lawyer. You have a Christian mechanic. And you have even a greater impact for the cause of Christ because you have people out in the society having a testimony in every area of life. That's fruit. It's the word in us that allows us to produce this kind of fruit. That's what Jesus is getting across. The seed is the Word. And the Word in us. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it. And because they have the Word in them and they are living by the Word, bring forth fruit with patience. Wow. Hopefully that set in, because the message that I want to preach this morning in putting all this together is, in this parable, it's Christ's warning of what will choke the Word and keep us from a meaningful, productive life. The verse that I think is the most clear on this is what I want to spend a little bit of time on, and that's verse 14. That which will choke the Word and keep us who have the Word in us from a meaningful, productive life in home, in church, and in society. Jesus calls these things that will hinder that thorns. And that which fell among thorns are they, individuals, which when they have heard, I believe these are saved. Because they've heard it, now they're looking to apply it. They're going forth. But as they go forth, are choked. The Word is choked. Therefore, their fruit is choked. And they never bring any fruit to harvest or perfection. What is it? The seed and the thorn presented at the very same time. You had both. In the lives that we live, can I tell you that we have both? We have the seed available, but we also have the thorns. The believers hear the Word, but they fail to stay focused on the Word because of the thorns. The thorns are revealed as the cares of this life, the riches of this life, and the pleasures of this life. Which, while some think this is what's going to add to their life and their purpose and their meaning, only takes away from their life when they allow these things to choke the Word in them. Choked with the cares of this life, first of all. What are we allowing to consume our thoughts today? Because our thoughts will eventually reveal who we are and what we are getting out of life, whether we believe we are living a meaningful, productive life or not. Are we consumed with perfecting fruit? Are we consumed with the anxieties of life? The cares. We all have them. Everyone who's ever lived has had these thorns. Everyone who will live after us, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, they're going to have the very same things. If Jesus does not call the church up into glory, and we don't go into the tribulation period, up until that point, generation after generation after generation have been faced with the cares of this world or the riches of this world, pleasures of this world, or the seed. The seed. Right now, I think that too many people are totally consumed with who's going to be elected president. Because that's what media, that's all you hear. That's what's taking place. And is that something to be concerned about? Yes, very much so. But is it something to be consumed with? No. If you're consumed with that, you're not consumed with producing fruit at home. If you're consumed with that, you're not consumed with producing fruit in your church. If you're consumed with that, you're not consumed with being a witness and a testimony in society. But so many people are. So many people are consumed with this COVID. And rightly so. It is something to be concerned about. It's not something to allow to control your life. Why? Because you have a greater purpose than to be here to fight the fear of COVID. We have fruit in our homes to produce. We have fruit in our church to produce. And we have fruit in our society to produce. Don't let COVID take that away. Don't allow the devil to work through this COVID to get you so consumed with this that you're not consumed with being the husband or the wife or the parents or the worker that God wants you to be. Because that is what's going to produce the fruit for God. And as you produce fruit for God, you're going to have a desire to live. You're going to see the worth in your life, the importance of your life, things that can be accomplished for Christ. Natural disasters. Can I tell you, there's always been natural disasters? And there always will. They're going to increase. But they've always been natural disasters. Some are so focused on that. And no doubt, if you're living out in California and you're in the midst of all these fires, how could that not? But if you're consumed with that, I guarantee you, you're not consumed with your producing fruit in your home. And you're not consumed with producing fruit in your church. And you're not producing fruit in society. Because you're focused on the fires. Civil unrest. There's so many things that are cares. That's what Jesus was saying that to them. He's trying to help them to see. There's always going to be those cares of life. And Satan is the one that wants to use the cares of life to get you to focus on anything but producing fruit for God. And the most important thing you can do for you is to produce fruit, because there's not a better place to be in this life than in the will of God, producing fruit for Him. It brings joy. It was designed to bring joy into your life, in your home. It was designed to bring joy into your life, in your church. And it was designed to bring joy in your life, even in society. Because people here in society that might not ever come to church and might not ever hear the gospel if it were not for God planting you there to produce fruit for Him. Amen. Yeah. Wow. There's more. He goes on, and I think that quickly here, look at the next two. Choked with the riches of this life. Not only the cares and riches of this life, to the place where you're not bringing forth fruit for Him. Making money is needed, always has been. Providing for your home, providing tithes that God has for you to give to Him for the church, always has been a need there. But making money or being consumed with providing a higher level of living is not as important as producing fruit. So when you put more emphasis on making money than you do on parenting or your marriage or serving in your church or witnessing in your place of occupation, your work, then you're choking out the word. Matthew chapter 6, let me just read this to you. You know it quite well, but Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said this, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You see, we're not to serve mammon, we're to use mammon. We're to serve God. But when you lose sight of that, then the riches or mammon will choke out your productivity for God. And eventually get you to the place where you're wondering, how meaningful is my life? How productive is my life? Is it really making a difference? You can have all the money in the world, as we have over the past centuries witnessed icons. I mean, people that the whole world looked to as if they wanted to be just like them. And they still believe that Elvis Presley's alive. And yet he kills himself. A life where everyone else wants to live, and someone living that life doesn't want to live it. Is not Christ right? Yes, he is. Is not the Word of God the most important thing for us to look to? Yes, it is. It's reality. It's truth. Don't allow riches to choke out a far more important thing that should be in your life, producing fruit at home, church, in society. If you're going to put the word first, there's things you need. You need personal devotions. That's the first sign that will start happening, is when you start allowing the things of the world to choke out the word, is you're not filling your heart with the word. And you'll lose out on personal devotions. Which, when you're reading, it's just you and God in the Word. And it's God speaking to you, and it's a blessing to be able to have a conversation with God. When you're reading, He speaks to you, and you can talk back to Him. Amen? You can speak to Him as you're looking at the Word. you start missing church. And the important thing about church is you come to hear the word of God. And you hear it preached, and God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. For the world, they think it's foolish, but to those that understand, it's part of me taking in the word to be able to produce the fruit. Without the word, I cannot produce the fruit. And so Satan's wanting to keep me from receiving the word and keeping the word so that he can choke out the word. So every opportunity I have to hear the word of God preached, it benefits me. It does. Yeah. It does. Every time I have an opportunity to witness on the job, it benefits you. Whether they receive it or not, it's going to help you. Because it's going to help you to realize I put more value on me witnessing than risking the loss of this employee's friendship. Sometimes we put more value on friendships of a lost person than on getting them saved. And you're not there to be their friend first and foremost. You're there to be a witness to them in producing fruit for God. Well, I hope that come across right. Praise the Lord for friends. But I'm not there primarily to be a friend. God didn't put me there just to be a friend. God put me there to be a witness. God put me there to be the salt and the light. Without me there, they might never see the light. Without me there, they might never taste the savor of the salt. And when I am there and I witness to that individual, whether they get saved or not, I have produced fruit because I have given them an opportunity to be saved. And I might have just planted a seed that might not have been come to fruition right then and there, but later on down the road, that seed planted in them is what led them to get saved later on. That's fruit. That's fruit. The last thing he says to them is, choked with the pleasures of this life. Not necessarily referring to the pleasures of sin, but it does include that. Some people give up their testimony for just temporary pleasures of sin. The thing about that is it doesn't last. The pleasures don't continue to last. It just starts getting you having to give more and more to that to feel the very same amount of pleasure until you get addicted to the pleasures. And when you get addicted to the pleasures, you have no testimony for God. Thereby, you're not producing fruit. And the worst place for a believer to be is not producing fruit. Anything that consumes our minds and chokes out God's word has to be avoided. We all need recreation. We all need vacations. We all need to enjoy time off. But never at the expense of choking out God's word. Never. Because that's the first step to getting to a place where it's hard to get out of bed because you've got no purpose of life. No meaning for my existence. Worthless. Never want to see anybody get there. But I know that's exactly where the devil wants you to be. I'm so thankful because Jesus presented this parable so the disciples, any believer in this church age, would never have to experience that kind of feeling. But that we can continue to rejoice in the feelings of and the understanding of producing fruit for God. That's where we need to be. If I could have every head bowed for just a minute. Just bow your head if you will. Think about what God has spoken to you about during this preaching of the word. How that it has possibly impacted your thinking. How that it might have even brought some conviction. How that it's real in your own life. Let's get back to putting priority on producing fruit for God. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to read this parable of the sower of the seed. Not only read it, but being able to understand it and hopefully applying it to our lives in this 21st century. Only you know what's going on in each and every one of our lives. Only you know what we have need of. And I pray right now, God, if there is a need, that we would look to you. As we look to you, God, that we would be willing and ready to do whatever it is that you'd have us to do. Whether it be salvation, follow you in believers' baptism, rededicate a life, maybe even submit to discipleship. I pray, God, that you would just work in our midst. Speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. In Jesus' name.